It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis. We're going to begin reading today with the second chapter. We're going to read from chapter 2, verse 1 through to the 17th verse of chapter 2. So please open your Bibles that you can follow along with me, and we may enjoy the reading of the precious Word today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to send us some mail, you please use the address as Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, and we'd appreciate any comments, any questions that you might have. And then also you could visit us at our website at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so you got our mailing address and our website as well. The address again is 18th and Church Street if you'd like to come to visit. And now that you have had a few minutes to open your Bibles, to prepare for Bible study, why please that you follow along now as we read in Genesis chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. On the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth, when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and the breath into his nostril, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it parted and became into four heads. The name of the first was Pison, that is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good, and the delium and the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gion, and the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, I'll get it right here in a minute, stay with me, Hiddekel, that it which goeth towards the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study. Father, we do thank and praise you for the opportunity of coming together. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity of sharing your word. Please, Lord, that all that are listening will grow closer to you, come to know you as their Savior, and begin this wonderful walk and this wonderful life of being a Christian. So please, Lord, that you will guide and lead each and every heart and mind, that they will come to you today and begin to serve you and praise you and bring honor and glory unto you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity that you've given us. Please, Lord, that you will care for my voice, that it be strong enough to present your word clearly today, that, again, you'll receive honor and glory. Guide and lead us now, Lord. Set us in the direction that we need to go in service to you, that we may know your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have spent some time last time we were together with this second chapter, just a little bit concerning. We closed out the sixth day in the first chapter, then went on to the seventh day, and we spent much time in other verses of Scripture reading concerning the day of rest. And I hope that you didn't miss that, and I hope that you had a good time as we looked through those verses of Scripture and those times, learning and knowing that the day of rest that the Lord has given us is just that. It is not a day of to go to church, to go to worship, to sing praises as we do today on the first day of the week. That seventh day was strictly a day of rest. And we look through many verses of Scripture. If you missed last week, just let me give you the verses of Scripture very quickly so that you may look them up and enjoy them and help you to understand God's Word. And the seventh day, the Sabbath day, Exodus chapter 16, verses 23 through 30, Nehemiah 9, 13 and 14, and then Exodus 31, 12, 13, and 16 and 17. Also, we went and read some verses of Scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and then 6 and 7. And then we finished that as we went to Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. And I would like to go to that verse of Scripture right now because we need to see that what is important, and we need to know that what is important is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can find Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to go right to the 14th verse here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through verse 17. And so please, I hope that you opened your Bibles. If you didn't, please just listen. Write it down. Look it up later if you'd like to. Colossians chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day, or of any new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. And so we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because all these things pointed to the Lord Jesus, and it was not set to be a requirement for salvation. And so please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I say, and I say it often, that you need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is His grace, His saving power that will save you, that will take your sin away, that will set you free. It is not it's not the keeping of the Ten Commandments, because you can't. It's not the keeping of this Sabbath day, because it is for the Israelites to begin with, not for us. But it is of no gain to set your goal to fulfill those things and ignore the Lord Jesus. Yes, we should follow after God's Word. And as I've said before, the other nine commandments of the ten are all spoken of and listed in the New Testament, but one is not, and that's concerning the Sabbath. That was something, it was a day of rest given to the Jews, and when the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he finished that work, and he set everyone free from the law, you see, so we're above the law now. And, don't think you can go out and commit whatever sin you want to, because that's not so. You need to use it as a guideline, but not for salvation. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart, because you have trusted in Jesus, then and only then will you begin to enjoy this wonderful walk with the Lord Jesus. You'll begin to recognize what I'm talking about concerning not being bound by the law, not being, you know, oh, if I break one law, then I'm condemned again. Not at all. And many churches, many religions teach that you have to follow certain rules to be saved, and then you have to keep certain rules to keep saved. No, you come by faith. It is God's grace that saves. It's God's grace that keeps. And I hope that you see that and found that today. Now, we have looked at this seventh day, and we're going to go on now, and we're going to look at the fourth verse. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heavens. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. And there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole earth of the ground. Now, isn't it something how that this, we just kind of have a vapor here as it comes up from underneath. It had never rained. There was a kind of a layer of vapor around the earth. It kind of protected it. I believe that the whole earth was much like the lush green areas around the equator. It wasn't that muggy and hot like it is right there, but it gives you some idea of what it maybe looked like. I believe that prior to the flood, prior to this time, there was the tide and the wind existed, but it was very moderate. It didn't shift as it does today. There was no storms. Again, there was no rain. There was no real cold. There was no real hot. It was a very perfect environment, and that's what we have here as we look at these verses of Scripture, the way God created it. Isn't it wonderful as we look at the seventh verse now, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So what we're doing is taking what we've learned in chapter 1 and just making it a little fuller in chapter 2. We're not repeating something here as far as, or there's one creation, it created and then something happened and now it's a recreation. Not at all. We have God spoke into existence, the world as we know it, and more perfect than we know it, and he spoke life into man, as we have just read in the seventh verse. So we have looked slightly at what a little bit at what the world would have looked like, some things that would be going on. Wouldn't it be strange not to have any storms and in this part of the country, not to have the snow and not to have the heat of the summer, but just kind of have a moderate temperature year round and for it to never rain because everything was watered from underneath. Now, once again, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God created. He gives quite a detail here. He formed man of the dust of the ground. The dust of the earth, the dust of the ground, he created man. He brought together each molecule, every cell, and he adjusted them together just the way he wanted it, down to the very smallest detail. Again, formed man out of the dust of the earth. Our life is God-breathed. We look to the seventh verse. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God gave us life. He breathed into us life. He formed us from the dust of the earth. We became a living soul. Man has an immortal soul living forever. He is a spiritual being. He is conscious of right and wrong. We're set to walk in the presence of God. We're to have eternal fellowship with God, the Creator of the world. We find in the 18th verse that man receives his helpmeet. We stop just a little short of that. And let me read verse 18 today. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." We find that not only is there a difference, because we look, God, the Lord God, formed man of the dust of the earth, and then we find in the verses that he has taken from man to make woman, and we know that prior to the man being formed by God, that all the animals, everything was already in place. So you see, today people want to believe in evolution. They want to believe that we have started, and I don't know why they kind of just go back to the monkey and start from there. But there always seems to be some kind of a starting place, and then they can connect the dots and get it from that lower level of life up to this level of life, and so we have evolved from one to the other. That's not so. God spoke into existence all the animals that we have, all the plant life that we have. He come together, and they let us, the scripture says, if you'll remember back in the 27th verse, as so God created man in his own image. And in the 26th verse, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Let us. And so the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit came together to make man. And so, again, in the 7th verse, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That is what has taken place, the relationship between God and man. He breathed into us life. And so, again, never forget that we're a living soul, and different than all the animals. And there is nothing, there is no way that we can pass from one level to the other. And also concerning man and woman, there is a difference between the two. We're made differently. And so please that you, I hope that we can get this evolution moved from your line of thinking, and you'll realize that it's been man teaching you and not the Creator that put it into place. He is not teaching you or giving any hint of any level of evolution. Oh, there is changes, minor changes, as sin continues to take hold. And you know as well as I do that corruption and wickedness has grown so much just in my lifetime. But to look at one animal moving to another and then on to man, it is impossible. And so please, we may take a little bit of time here in the next time or so and look at what that the odds are that we could have evolved. And it's just amazing that man today can have thought of that. So please begin to look at the way God said, and he, God created, God spoke. That's how it's all come to pass, not by some form of evolution. Now, we look to the 8th verse, and we're going to spend a little bit more time here concerning this man when we come over and look at the creation of woman, and so how the Lord has done that. But again, don't miss that man has an immortal soul. It's a soul that will live forever somewhere, either in the presence of God in heaven or in the lake of fire. One or the other is where that soul is going to be, different than any animal. Yes, woman has the same soul, but the animals have no soul. And there is the difference. God spoke into existence. He took man and formed him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and became a living soul. Now, the 8th verse, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. The Lord God had planted a garden. Isn't it something how that, yes, he has created everything in the whole world, but there is a special place here where he has set a special area where he's going to place man. And isn't it wonderful that we know that we have a God here that is so careful with every detail? It says eastward in Eden. Now, where is that? From where maybe that Moses is located here as he is writing this, as the Lord is showing what has happened? Because, you see, Moses is the man that God has chosen to record all of this. Moses was not here, and it's not by hearsay of Adam and then on down. It is by a revelation of God. God has spoken to Moses, and Moses is writing down how this has taken place. And so we have here eastward in Eden, where that's located. We don't really know. Is it east of Sinai, east of the Sinai Peninsula here? We don't know where it is. We do know that much has really changed after the flood. And so everything is not in its place anymore as far as where God has created it. In the 8th and 9th verse here, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not only did the Lord make this special place, but the Lord also has placed in it special things. And one is the trees. The trees that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. You see, God not only has placed man in the garden, but he's also put everything there, all he needed. Everything that he needed was placed in the garden. Every vitamin that he needed for his body is in this. The fruit of the tree is the herb of the field. All of it here is present, and God made a special place, a very special place for man. God planted a garden. Eden means delight and pleasure. Every plant that man needed was present there for man to use and for man to enjoy. God knew what it would bring, what would bring joy to man, what would bring life, real life, and all was found in the garden. We've got a couple of verses of Scripture in Psalms that speaks of how the Lord is caring for his land and his garden. You know, many times man today think that we're the only one that's protecting it. If God had not put into place everything and spoke it into existence, spun it into its way, it would all fall apart if it was left up to just man alone. Now we're going to look at Psalms 65 and just a couple verses of Scripture that I enjoy. If you remember last time we were together, we read some verses from Psalms chapter 9, chapter 65, I'm sorry, Psalm 65, verse 9, Psalm 65, verse 9. And as we look at this verse of Scripture here, Psalms chapter 65, verse 9, Thou visitest the earth and watered it. Thou greatly enriched it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou watered the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. And thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Bless the springing thereof. Thou crowned the year with thy goodness, and thy paths dropped fatness. They drop unto the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice in every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks, and the valley also are covered over with corn. They shout with joy, they also sing. Listen to all the things that the Lord speaks of there concerning everything that he has. Everything is put into place. Again, for His honor and glory, but also for our joy and for our pleasure. Let's go to Psalms chapter 104, Psalms 104, as we look at another verse of Scripture here. Psalms 104, verses 11 through 14. 104, verse 11 through 14. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his chambers, and the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth out of the earth. It's wonderful to hear all the things that the Lord, and again, it's just, I thought it was a joy to read those verses of Scripture in Psalms concerning the way the Lord has made man, placed him in the garden, and then the Lord supplies every need that we have. You know, we get so involved with our homes and our cars and our work and all those things. Oh, we just need to realize, yes, the Lord wanted us to work. Man is going to till the land. He is going to care for it. But by that care, God has given and supplied every need that is there, every need. We have, again, the 8th and 9th verse I have read a couple of times. I'm going to read it once again. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight, and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now we've looked at a little bit of the trees that are there, good for food and pleasant to look at. So you see, the Lord does enjoy that we enjoy to see. And to look upon things and to like things. And so he looks, and as man looked forward, as Adam looked up, to see the beautiful garden and the beautiful trees, and then also not only were they a thing of beauty, but they were good for food. And so it supplied his physical needs too. But in this same list of verse 9, we have two other trees that are listed. That is the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So you see, we have not only the trees that are there for food, but also the tree of life is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life, is it there for the purpose, as we think of a fruit that is for nourishment? Does, if you had to have a piece of fruit from the tree of life every day, that way you would stay perfect, it had everything that your body needed? I don't think so. I think that the tree of life is there, and I bet it was the most beautiful tree in the whole garden. And I think that it reminded them what the Lord had done. I think that it reminded them every day that the Lord is everlasting, that God is everlasting. And it showed them that by its presence that there is continuous life and happiness. Now, in Jesus Christ, we find that today. Because, you see, he is our tree of life. This tree that was in the midst of the garden, in the perfect environment that God had created and placed man before sin had come, there was a tree there to show them his continuous love, the continuous life that they would have. And here was this tree. Was it of some special fruit that come from it that you had to have? Probably not. It was there for beauty. All the trees are for beauty and for food, the Scripture says above it, but then it lists the tree of life. Now, the tree of life. We need to know that there's life in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. We're going to look up a couple of verses of Scripture the next time that we come together concerning this tree of life. It's so important that you see Jesus Christ. I want you to see creation, how God spoke it all into existence, how that he has formed man, how that the woman is going to be a helpmeet to come. We have read just a little bit about the river, and then it turns into four branches. So please, don't miss the next time we come together. But I hope between now and then, you trust in Jesus. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?